And welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Giannis Janaeus. In this episode, we will be discussing the 1-1 draw for Fulham to open the new season on the road against Cardiff City. Before we discuss the match, I want to share my thoughts on the match day live scenario set up by Fulham Football Club while I wait for my co-host to arrive. One of the things that I've always wanted Fulham to do, as long as I've been a supporter, is to have a match day show. Well, now they have a match day show, and listen, it truly is a really good thing. For 30 minutes prior on the away matches and an hour on the home matches, you get a real pre-match show, and I have to give Sammy James a lot of credit. He does a very good job. In this last episode, they interviewed Kit Simons. Well, Sarah Brooks interviewed Kit Simons. He interviewed the newest signing for Fulham. That was very good. And on top of it, he analyzed the starting 11 and also talked to Gentleman Jim before the match. So I would highly recommend you check out Match Day Live. You can actually listen to it on the Fulham app. Even if you're at Craven Cottage, you can listen to this. And they also do halftime as well. And I believe they will be doing post-match. They did not do post-match for this match. But listen, it really is good. It's good to get to have talk at halftime as well. So I would highly recommend checking out Match Day Live. The club has really done it up nicely, and this is a great way to start the season, was with Match Day Live. So I wanted to mention that. Looks like I might have one or potentially two co-hosts on the line. First, Giannis, are you with me?
Hello!
Giannis, how you doing, my friend?
I'm absolutely fantastic, Russ. How you doing, mate?
I am doing well. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, sir. Wonderful to be on.
Well, listen, it looks like we might have an extra bonus co-host. Mike Gregg, I believe, is on the line. Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, Russ. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mike.
I can hear you fine. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. I'll just thought I'd dial in, give you a chat. You know, because I thought you said you might have some problems, but if you still want me to stay on, I will, Russ.
Mike, listen, it would be great to have you join us because I really want to hear from you because you were at the match, so it'd be great to have you on. So thank you so much for joining Giannis and me today.
Yeah, no problem. It'd be good to talk to you both.
Hey, Mikey.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Giannis.
Okay, fantastic. Well, listen, let's start here. Again, I plan on this only being an hour show, and I've only put it in for an hour. So we're going to go through this fairly quickly, but let's start with opening thoughts on the match. And Mike, since you were there, you know, I'll start with you. What's your overall takeaway from this match? It ends up being a 1-1 draw. Fulham give up a late goal. But for me, one of the positives to come out of this match, I know it's only a point, but it was the fight back after giving up the goal. And honestly, they should have won the match. Share me your overall thoughts on this match.
Yeah, well, the general consensus from everyone there, and it looks like the people who have watched the 90 minutes replay so far and made their own reports, is that it was a fair result. And I felt that at the time, and the people around me as well. You know, we could have won it at the end. We should have won it at the end. But, I mean, Longan made some good saves, and, you know, they hit the bar as well. They created the more clear-cut chances.
Yep.
But overall, a fair result, and you know, lots more positives than negatives from the game. You know, that's what we're looking at, aren't we? We're looking really, you know, what's the major changes from last season? Well, we've got a point more than we did a year ago. You know, year on year from one game, and right. Yes, there's still issues, but you know, we need to take heart from what I thought was a really good display by the midfield. And you know, much more of a unit. That's what I would say. Really, is you know, all 11. It didn't look like 11 individuals, which at times last season it did. And so, for the nearly 1,000 fans who went, I thought we were good value for the point.
Okay, fantastic, Mike. And you know, listen, I'm glad that you brought up, because one of the things to come out of this, again, it's only one match. You nailed it. They played like a unit. You know, from front to back, it was 11 playing together, and that to me is most important, that they played together as a team. Wasn't individuals out there. They were actually working together as a team, and we'll go through it. I definitely want to get your thoughts on the center backs as we go through this, because I thought they were solid, and it's been a concern going into the season. So I'll be curious your thoughts about the center backs and also on the back four. Giannis, what's your overall takeaway from this match?
Couldn't agree more with Mike there. I thought I watched the 90 minutes. I thought we played well. I thought that our shape was very good. Formation was set up okay. I think the key to this team this year is going to be the midfield. I like the midfield. I suppose one question mark that Kit is going to have is when Scotty comes back, where does he fit him in there? The back four looked fairly solid. Lonergan looked very good in that. Could have won it at the death. But to be honest, I think a draw was probably a fair result. Cardiff, I thought, played pretty well as well. And I think that you'll find that with a couple of additions of the transfer deadline, not just with us, but obviously with the Bluebirds as well, both teams should be, I think, there or thereabouts come the end of the season. But it was an encouraging start. And I think the key was we didn't really look like we were going to concede a goal. And I think any time you keep your unit that tight, especially defending in numbers, you're always going to be in a game. So overall, I'm happy with the point, and bring on the Wickham.
Okay, fantastic. Do you agree with Mike? And I agree with Mike that it's a fair result. You know, again, I think we should have won it in the end, but I think it's a fair result. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Cardiff showed enough intent in the game. They put us under pressure at times. They are a good side. We all agreed that this was a tricky fixture, first game of the season. And I think before the game, we'd all have been fairly happy with a point. It's always disappointing if you concede a goal late. We've been used to that last couple of years. But in retrospect and in hindsight, a draw's good result for us. Gives us some impetus with the Wickham game. I know the lineup might look very different. And obviously, we've got the Seagulls coming down to the Cottage next Saturday. So onwards and upwards, so to speak.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, let's now transition. Let's talk about the starting 11 going into this match. And I mentioned this. One of the very interesting things about this season, again, I have the privilege now of having the ability to listen to Match Day Live, and they actually talked a little bit about the starting 11. There was some talk about the starting 11, how Matt Smith was put in possibly because of his physicality, going up against the physicality of Cardiff City. That was the reasoning that Sammy James was talking about. So, Mike, I'm going to start with you. What were your thoughts about the starting 11? Did you like the lineup, or would you have gone with, say, Dembele possibly instead of someone like Matt Smith?
Well, as you know, I ran the fans voted in my survey to pick the team, and the only difference positional wise was the goalkeepers, and you know that was probably down to Bettinelli's knock that he had and lack of match practice. So it was the team I think the majority of fans expected Kit to pick. Personally, I would have picked Dembele, but it makes sense in the end. It was an away game; we were going to be under pressure, and the one thing Smith does give you is a target. Certainly early on, we were probably too prone to hitting the ball long to him.
And, I agree with you more. Yeah, go
you
ahead.
Know, straight from the kickoff, we, straight back to Hudson and boot it out forward. But, he did his job. He held the line. I mean, Ross played a bit deeper again. And, I'm a Dembele fan. I know for all his faults that he has and, you know, the fact that he probably doesn't want to be here now either is a black mark against him as well. But he gives you that pace, and I think that last 15, 20 minutes showed that either option, him or Smith, can be option B. You know, we needed someone to run the channels in that last 15, 20 minutes and stretch their defence. And anyone who's watched the game will see that he did that. And, no other striker that we've got in the squad would have been able to make that run at the end to put the cross or put the little pass into McCormick, which I'm sure we will talk about later.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And listen, very good analysis of the situation at striker for Fulham, because glad that you brought up already, because we will go through a couple of key moments. But when I talk about the key moments, you're going to hear me say, header by Smith, header by Smith, header by Smith, because, again, I thought we were a little bit too reliant on lofting up the ball to Matt Smith. I know it's effective, but we can pass the ball around now. So I wish they did a little bit more of that than be so quick to get the ball up to Matt Smith. But he is a weapon up there. He is a target man, so you can use him. I thought they were a little bit too reliant on that. And very good point by you, because Moussa Dembélé, I thought, did change the game when he came on because he stretched the defense. Very good point by you. All right, Giannis, over to you. What were your thoughts about the starting 11?
I was in agreement with the 11 except for Smith. I would have started Coley Woodrow. And I'm going to explain this one. Smith, you know, they were knocking a lot of long balls early, but to me, Smith is still plan B.
I agree.
And it's predictable. We've got a lot of skill in that midfield. You look at that, it's a creative midfield. It's an energy midfield. It's a hard-running midfield. And all we're doing by knocking long balls is we're just eliminating our midfield. And really, there's only certain things Smith can do. Now, having said that, you can say, well, Dembélé, you know, he comes on, da-da-da, he wants to leave the club, he gives us 12 minutes of energy. Well, Coley Woodrow just signed an extension to his contract, number one, and he clearly wants to be here. Number two, if you watch him, and I was at the cottage last week for the Palace game, and the one thing that strikes me about Coley is his runs off the ball. He's brilliant at moving into pockets. The problem is the midfield never seem to find him. And to me, he's a cleverer player than the other two. So before the lineup, knowing that we lost Garbutt to injury, my assumption was going to be that it was going to be McCormack up top with Woodrow, if only because if you got someone like Woodrow, you're going to keep the ball on the deck. You're going to utilize the midfield, you know, trying to stroke the ball around combinations as opposed to that route one A to B Wimbledon stuff. And so if Smith... Don't get me wrong, Smith. You know, Smith's going to score goals for us, and Smith is dangerous in the air, and he's a big boy. But he's the sort of kid that I would play if we're goal down and we need to suddenly go quickly in route one. He's not a plan A for me. And if we're going to get promoted this year, we're not going to get promoted with Smith in the lineup starting. So I would have started Woodrow, and then if things were going bumpy, then I would have brought Smith on. As for Dembélé, I do like Dembélé, but I don't want players that don't want to be here. You know, I mean, okay. Mitroglou played well last week against Palace, so he didn't want to be here. He's gone now. And if players don't want to be here, you're not wearing the black and white. So we've got two players in Smith and Woodrow that want to play. And that's where that angle comes on in terms of the substitution, because I wouldn't have bought him on. I would have bought Coley on.
Okay, very interesting take. And, Mike, I want to go back to you because I want to get your thoughts on what Giannis just said about Coley Woodrow, a different type of striker, a different type of player. What are your thoughts about what he had to share about the starting 11 that he would have included Coley?
I mean, I understand the arguments, and I'll just speak about the Dembélé one and Hardman, sure, if you like, and Bettinelli. You know, these are three players who, yeah, from everything you hear, is that they don't want to be there and they don't want to sign contracts. And I'm usually of the argument, you know, if you don't want to be at my club, then go. I think it's more complicated by, is it just a money issue? Is it a game time issue? So if you completely cold shoulder them and say, well, you're not playing until you sign that contract, then there's absolutely zero chance of them staying. So I think it's a case of keeping them involved. Certainly Hyman and Dembélé were on the bench yesterday. And, you know, personally, I would have brought on another two players because we only made one sub yesterday, but and Hyman would have been one of them, but you know, that's something I think you need to take into account. We're trying to keep them happy, possibly bribe them into staying, you know, by showing that they're required. But with Woodrow, the argument is, you know, I can't disagree with you, actually. You know, you could have picked, for me, Smith is always plan B. He shouldn't start, or well, I wouldn't start him. And so it would then be Lee or it would be Woodrow. So it's almost a toss of a coin sometimes. It just depends on what you're looking for. I'm not convinced, though, that Woodrow and McCormack can play together, because okay, I've known Woodrow for a long time as a player, and he's not a point man. And they both like to come deeper to get the ball or with their back to the goal. So I'm not convinced they're the right people to play together. It would not be my preference to start them.
Very interesting take. Giannis, what are your thoughts about Mike saying that there are two players that like to do the same thing? So can they coexist? What are your thoughts on that before we move on?
I think Mike's made a fair point there. I think part of it has to go down to Kit and how he's setting up the formation and the work that he's doing with the extra strikers. I mean, as a coach, I'll tell you, if you're putting two players together, you're often sitting down and talking with them about movement and what you want on and off the ball, and getting the players to talk to each other about where they like to move on and off the ball, and that way you get an understanding. To me, Woodrow is an intelligent player. I don't see it in Dembele. I really don't. I think Wood, again, keep an eye on what he does running into pockets. He's very, very good at doing it. And last week, I felt terrible for him because it didn't matter where he ran, and more often than not, he was running into space and he was never found. It's not like he wasn't open. And that, to me, is the sign of a smart player. He's a subtle player, and he's still very young. So he's only 20 years of age. So someone who's got an understanding of the game like that is someone you've got to really look at. And, yeah, I understand they can be similar players. I just think that the Woodrow's got the ability to give a different dimension in terms of his ability to hold the ball up and lay it wide. And he doesn't have that to be that big, you know, Chef Kikuchi donkey, which, you know, to all due respect, you know, Smith is to all intents and purposes, except a better version. I just like the notion of speed. I think that's what it is. I think if you put a big man up front, it looks so predictable. As an opposing coach, I know what you're going to do. I know it's going to be direct. I know it's going to be route one. So I have a bit of a bias here, I'm going to confess. I think Woodrow's a better player. But I'm going to say that Woodrow will probably start against Wickham on Tuesday night, and that'll be his chance to audition. Maybe he can score. And then Kit will have a couple of dilemmas for the Brighton game.
Okay, very good. Very interesting take. All right, guys, let's transition. I'm just going to go through some key moments, not all. And in the first half, Mike, I'm just going to go with you with some of the first half key moments. And basically, they all really involve Matt Smith. And again, I want to give Andy Lonergan some credit because he had a little work to do. But I'm going to focus more on Matt Smith because he had a header in the 11th minute that actually hit the post. And in the 20th minute, he had another header. Nice cross from Jamie O'Hara. In the 29th minute, he had another header. Again, a great cross by Kai Voser. In the 42nd minute, he actually set up Ross McCormack on a header. Now, here we are. We are talking a little bit of Route 1 here. What are your thoughts about you know, Matt Smith being so involved in the, you know, again, this is really in the first half. He was involved in four half opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched any of the replays, so it's very much from memory. But it was at the far end of the pitch from us. And I remember the O'Hara one particularly because O'Hara swung, but he was down in the bottom right, top right-hand corner, got the cross in. So for O'Hara to be on the byline was a surprise for a start, and it was a good cross. And
it was.
You know, it was a good header. And, you know, there's lots of talk about, you know, I get criticism because people think I'm not a Smith fan, and I'm not a Smith fan in the fact that I wouldn't start him. I'm not saying calling him a dog or anything like that. He has his pluses and his minuses, but we are not playing with natural wingers, so we are not getting down to that byline, and we are not getting crosses in like that. But he was at the end of it, and he's a big man, and he should be getting those headers. And I remember it sort of going over the bar. But the other ones you're talking about, I vaguely remember, are more diagonal crosses into the box, and he's knocking them down. And I remember McCormack coming off one of them as well. And but as Yanis says, that gets a bit predictable, and so you're doing it four or five times. And, well, they're the chances we actually had. But what about the ones where we pumped it in and he hasn't got on the end of it? And it does become predictable. And you know, you're watching Hutchinson, you're watching Richards, and their instinct is to straight away look up for the easy ball. And whether that's lack of confidence, whether that's instructions, I don't know. But a couple of us were actually laughing at the times when Hutchinson looked up and the diagonal wasn't there for him to hit. But he did well. He got, you know, he's got on the end of the headers. And one of the issues, again, I go back to it, is McCormack is coming too deep. So he's not actually up there with Smith to be on the end of these, you know, apart from that one real chance. And
it's a good point.
You know, if you're going to play a static striker, which is what Smith is, you know, because he doesn't deviate, you know, width-wise 30 yards from the centre of the pitch, then you need to have a striker near him. And, you know, they might score goals together, or they might score a a lot of goals. How many times is it where they've combined? And I'm not entirely sure about this McCormack-Smith pairing. I actually think, going back to the strikers, we have five different, very different strikers, all with different attributes. And in all honesty, I think the best player to play with Smith would probably be Taggart, because Taggart's much more mobile. He's a runner. Right. And he feeds off big players. I mean, anyone who knows what he did in Australia is he played with Heskey, and Heskey just knocked the ball down every time and he scored these goals. But so, yeah, Smith gives you that. He's there, he's dangerous, but it does become predictable.
Right, Mike. And that's why, again, you know, for me, and again, this is just my preference, I would rather see him as the plan B, like Yana said. For me, that's what I would like to see. He was effective in what he does, but like you said, he's static, meaning that you need someone right there with him that can basically take care of what he gives you. And you brought up Adam Taggart. Hopefully we'll see a little bit of Adam Taggart. Maybe he will be the right fit for Matt Smith, you know, give him a different option. But again, I go back to watching the match. I watched the match, and I agree with you. Ross McCormack keeps going way too deep. I think he's trying to do too much. And instead of staying farther up the pitch, he keeps coming back. And, you know, he should be allowing the play to come to him more. And I think, you know, again, I think he's just a player that's trying to do way too much. And I was thinking about this, Giannis, before we move on. When I think of Ross McCormack, I think Ross McCormack could be our player of the season again, because I think he's going to score a tremendous amount of goals from this midfield. But it's almost like he's kind of like a ball hog in the NBA, like he needs the ball all the time kind of player. And I just wish he would actually just stay up front.
Yeah, I agree. And the team isn't going to live or die by what he's doing. I think he releases the ball too late. He's not the quickest cat in the bag. And I think he needs to do a better job of recognizing the options on the ball. He's a very, very good player. But sometimes, you know, he's got, there's several occasions yesterday when you're looking and Kearney and Pringle are making runs, and he's holding on the ball too long. And he must know that, of course, one of the biggest adages in the game is the ball always travels quicker than the man.
Right.
And that's where you've got to use your smarts. And I think, I mean, could you say, is it because he's trying to get used to his, new teammates? It could be. But these are professionals. This is a Scottish international. You know, I mean, they practice enough. So I think it's something where he has to, it's part of his own, mental intelligence development in the game. He has to have an understanding of the players around him. Because at the end of the day, if he releases the ball, he wants to go back in a position where he's going to be in a better position to maybe take a shot on net or at least create a chance. You can't just do it all. The only player we've had in the last several years who could do it all holding on the ball was probably Berbatov, but then Berbatov produced sublime skill out of nowhere. So, you know, that's who he was, but McCormack isn't built that way. So and that's why I think Kit's got to look at, you know, we could talk about transfer targets and players that, you know, potential players he can pick up with the money that we've got right now. And if he's not going to use Cawley, then I think the club needs to spend money on someone who's going to complement McCormack. And to me, Dembele and Smith don't fit that bill.
Okay, very interesting take there. Very interesting take. All right, let's transition to the second half now. And Michael, go back to you. Let's be honest here. Cardiff City had a great opportunity to start the second half. They came out right away and had a very good opportunity to start the second half. But we followed that up with scoring the goal. So share me your thoughts about the goal. Again, it was set up by Ben Pringle. I think it was originally a cross. I don't think this was a shot. But Matt Smith got up, you know, basically headed it in from the opportunity. What are your thoughts? It's funny because Jim kept blaming the goalkeeper. Do you blame the goalkeeper on this?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I was almost in line with the goalie there, and it was a cross, but it caught the keeper unawares, and he's touched it onto the bar, if I remember rightly, and then fell to the ground. And Smith, being the goal scorer that he wants to go score goals, is in there following up, which is what you're taught to do as a striker, and he's there and heads it in, and we're one up. And at the time, we kicked second really well, I thought, and you know, thoroughly deserved to take that lead. And it was good that Pringle showed the kind of cross he's going to produce this season. And you know, his corners maybe weren't as great as we hoped, but yeah, 1-0 lead that early, and then you start looking at clammy hang on. But no, it was great. It was right in front of us. The players came over and celebrated.
I saw that.
And, it was really good for the crowd.
That's great. And Mike, before I go to Giannis, because I want to ask you about this, because again, you were there, because I'm just listening to the broadcast and then I watched the replay. The goal that was disallowed by Cardiff, was this a handball?
Well, it was at the far end. And as I said, I've not been able to see any replay. So we all thought it was a goal, actually.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's even difficult to see on the replay, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, we were all a little bit confused. And we knew straight away it hadn't been given, almost. But yeah, from where we were, we couldn't see any problems, and we thought it was 1-1 straight away.
Okay, very good. All right, Giannis, back to you. I'm going to give you a couple things here. You know, the interesting part of all this, and I'm just trying to compare this from last season, you're up 1-0, and do you sit back or do you try to get the second goal? And the big thing here, the encouraging thing, there are a couple of encouraging things for me, was after this situation with the disallowed goal, Fulham actually had a couple of scoring opportunities, one by Ross McCormack in the 55th minute, and then again in the 59th minute, Ben Pringle had an incredible opportunity. Great chance that was blocked, very close to goal. It was set up by Tom Kearney that got to McCormack and eventually ended up right at the feet of Ben Pringle, and it was just a nice block. But what was encouraging to me was they were really pushing for that second goal, Giannis.
Agreed. I mean, there's no point going a goal up and saying, well, you're going to defend for your lives, because invariably more often than not, you're going to get done for it. That seems to be a little bit of a different intent than last year. I think it's, you know, you go hell for leather. I mean, why not? And put them on the back foot. And if we score the second goal, then I think it's lights out. But that is good news. It's encouraging, because it may be what Kit has learned from last year is if you look at teams like and Watford and Derby County, when they scored the first goal, they smelt blood. And I think we've got the sort of midfield where we're going to cause a lot of teams a lot of problems with our energy. And if we score a goal, well, this is going to be a confidence team in an extreme. You score a goal, then you're going to go and look for two. And that was a difference from last year, where it was almost like if we took the lead, we were waiting for bad things to happen, and invariably they did. So that was a refreshing change. And it's a refreshing change away from home as well. And that can't be lost.
Exactly.
The Fulham support yesterday down in Wales was absolutely magnificent.
And I agree.
The players will have been buoyed by that as well. So, you know, again, I mean, we've got Wickham in the League Cup coming up, and we've got Brighton. And if this is going to be the intent and the plan, then I think this is good news. There's no point in this division trying to defend if you've got the horses that you think can attack and score goals. You know, so until we settle ourselves down at the back in terms of maybe one or two signings and then Garbutt gets back, then we might as well play to our strengths. And I think our strengths are going to be moving forward.
Okay, very good. Very interesting tape there. Giannis and Mike, before I ask you about the goal, a couple of things I just want to mention. First of all, Andy Larnigan made some key saves in between the period of time leading up to this goal. But I want to go back to something that Giannis said. You were among the Fulham supporters. I heard them. I heard them on the broadcast from Gentleman Jim. They were very loud, and they were very loud again when I watched back the replay. What are your thoughts? You were among the Fulham supporters. Did you feel that we had this really good support that I think we had? Can you hear me, Mike?
Mike.
Can you hear me?
I think we might have. Yes, I can hear you now, Mike.
Sorry, I had you on mute and I forgot to unmute it.
That's okay.
There was about 1,000 of us there, and you would have seen me do the Periscope prior to the kickoff.
I did. With the thing in.
And, you know, it was a lovely day for football, first game of the season. And the Cardiff fans, very subdued. I was expecting them to be much more than normal, sort of aggressive, loud self, but they have their own club issues and problems, which a few of the fans were talking about yesterday. But yeah, we were loud, we were good, we supported the team all the way through, supported them. You know, I didn't hear, you know, much moaning and groaning, which is good. And yeah, really positive from the fans who went yesterday.
Yeah, you know, again, I wanted to mention that because it was noticeable. And, you know, again, the Cardiff City crowd, Mike, very disappointing. You know, when I heard that it was only 15,000, I was very surprised. I understand that the rugby match was going on, but for an opener to only have 15,000 was disappointing. And again, like you mentioned, 1,000 of it was foam supporters. And I think they made a difference yesterday. But let's move on. Now let's talk about the goal. Unfortunately, we do have to talk about the goal by Craig Noone. I don't think there's much that Andy Lonergan could have done here. Unfortunately, when you watch the replay, Mike, you will see Ben Pringle falling down. It's unfortunate he fell down. And that pretty much gave Noone that area where he could shoot and score. It was actually a great goal.
Yeah, I mean, it was – I haven't been able to see the player to go. I haven't seen how he lost the ball. There seems to be mixed messages on who actually lost the ball in the midfield and gave it back to them. But, you know, his run, Pringle was tracking back, and Pringle slipped, and it gave him the opportunity to cut inside. You can't blame Voza. Voza was in his right position, and he got the shot off before any of us could – you know, closing down, and no goalkeeper's going to stop that. And yeah, it was a great goal. I suppose the one good thing you can say about yesterday is, you know, we didn't let in another scrappy goal,
a
set piece, a corner. You know, we that back four, for all its faults, battled hard, you know, threw themselves at everything. Yes, they all made mistakes, but the vast majority of the time they recovered and made up for that. And it was probably one of the best back four performances we've had, you know, turn of the year, in the fact that they battled so hard. You know, they yeah. worked together, and you know, it's not a back four, I think, that's going to get you promotion, but I was much more pleased yesterday than, you know, since Christmas, really.
Very good point. Listen, I'm glad that you brought up the back four. I agree with you. It's not the back four that will get you promoted. But, and I'm glad that you mentioned this, they were solid. They played together as a unit, and that to me was encouraging. They battled, like you mentioned. Kai Voser, you know, Jazz Richards, and the two center backs, that they did a nice job. Let's give them credit where credit is due. They did their job yesterday, and they needed to, because, again, there were opportunities from Cardiff City, and they limited them. So I want to give those guys credit. All right, Giannis, I'm going to give you the honors. Let's now move to stoppage time. Again, what's interesting about this, what is encouraging me as a Fulham supporter, they give up the goal in very, you know, again, and I want to say the last couple of years, we would see the heads drop and potentially give up the second goal. Fulham looked like they were the team that was going to score. They actually created a few opportunities, but let's talk about the one that everyone will be talking about. It's the first minute of stoppage time. Dembele was one-on-one with the goalkeeper and passed the ball to Ross McCormack. He should have scored. This all started actually with a pass from Jazz Richards. Walk us through this moment in this match.
Well, I was listening to Gentleman Jim, and I was listening to Gentleman Jim on the road. I was at a soccer tournament about 100 miles away from here, and my head nearly fell off, because I thought, oh, here we go. Because if you remember 2 years ago when we played Cardiff City at home in the Premier League, they did us in with a last gasp winner at the Cottage. You know what I liked about what happened there is that whole move, and we should have finished it, don't get me wrong. What I liked about that whole move is that we kept pressing.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the last couple of minutes you could say, well, you know what, take it in the corner flag, knock it across, keep possession. Let's take the point and head down the M4. But we didn't. And that was really pleasing. And I know that Fulham fans would have recognised that as well. I mean, if that's part of a change of philosophy, great. Should have scored. You know what? Fair enough. We're going to be on the receiving end of those as well this year. So I think, as disappointing as it was that we didn't get the goal, I was really pleased with the fact that we kept attacking to the end, and we almost nicked it.
And that's my point in all this, Giannis, because again, watching back the replay, when you see this opportunity and a couple of others, even very, very, at the very end, I was just encouraged by the mindset. The mindset yep. being different than last season. To me, that is what stood out. And Mike, I want to ask you before we move on from the key moments, am I making too much of this or do you agree with me on this?
No, it was good that we kept going and, you know, we were 1-0. We kept going, got to 1-1. It was a very, very hot day. I did say earlier he should have probably brought on a couple of other subs because, you know, a lot of players were tiring out there. But it would have been very easy to take Smith off and another midfielder on and go really, you know, quite tight and quite deep as well. But we kept going and, you know, the substitution did work in the fact that Dembele had a couple of good runs. Not only the run he set up for Ross, he had another one on the left-hand side as well where he took the ball into the box and we were more direct and, that's what he gives you. And the chance at the end, yeah, you know, Ross had nightmares and he should have scored. And for me, it sort of summed him up. He's a scorer of goals, but he's not a goal scorer. If that ends, if it had been Smith or Dembele on the end of that, they would have hit it first time. But Ross, he, for whatever reason, you know, wanted to have a touch, and I just don't know why. And we were all stunned for a good few minutes. But you saw when the whistle went, how devastated it was. He knew that he'd made a mistake, and it was there on a plate with him, with knives and forks and everything ready, but he just didn't put it away. But, you know, he'll have other chances, which he will take. And, we just have to make sure that, we keep creating those chances. And because we'll talk about stats a little bit later, but, we were outshot again. And, there are issues there that we need to work on because the more shots you have, the more goals you're going to score. And that's a fact.
That's a good point, Mike.
Mike, I was going to ask you a question. I was at the Palace game last week, and one of the things I came away with, and I know it's pre-season, but to me McCormack didn't look particularly sharp, and I thought about it again, and I'm not so sure. Do you think he's 100%?
I think he's somebody who's a stocky bloke. He joined us last year and he wasn't ready, and I agree with you. And the people I was with last week at the Palace game said the same, that he doesn't look sharp, and I don't think he has an injury, and if he has an injury then he shouldn't be playing. We've got to get past this playing players all the time if they've got knocks that are making them not 100%. We've got a big enough squad and we should use it. Maybe he's someone who just needs these kind of competitive games to get sharp, but it raises a good point whether is he carrying something that we don't know about. But for me, it's going to be the same issue with him. He comes too deep. A player has the ball. You would have seen it watching the replay. Pringle or O'Hara will run with the ball or he'll receive. And he seems to want to, he might be with the last defender, but he then seems to want to go towards the player to get the ball. And that narrows the distance between the two Fulham players and with limited options to pass it to him, or it's too tight. And it means we end up with only one person up front. And for me, he needs to get more on the last man. He has the ability of close control to have the ball and just nick it past the player and he's away. But it's no good him doing that 10, 15 yards against the midfielder. I want him doing it against the centre-backs.
Yeah.
Very good point. All right. Hey, Mike, could you just do me a small favour? Listen, it's 100 times better than it was last time. Could you try dialing back in? You're a little choppy at times. Not as bad as it was on the last episode, but I'm just trying to get you a little bit clear. Can you hear me, Mike? Did he drop off already? He might have dropped off. He did. He heard me, Giannis. All right. Yeah. All right. Let's, and honestly, I'm very thankful that Mike joined us today because Mike was there, and I'm glad that he's joining us at the last minute, my friend. But let's go to Stat Attack because, again, Mike just brought this up. We'll go right to it. And here we go. Let's talk about possession. And I'm going to start with Cardiff. They had 54% to Fulham at 46%. This is where we go to total shots. They had 17. Fulham only had 8 shots on target. Cardiff had 4. Fulham only had 1. Shots blocked. This is an interesting stat. These are shots that were blocked against them. Cardiff had 7, Fulham had 3. Shooting accuracy, Cardiff were at 24%, Fulham were at 12%. Key passes, Cardiff were at 12, Fulham were at 6. Passing accuracy, 82% for Cardiff, 76% for Fulham. Crosses, 32 for Cardiff, 14 for Fulham. Crossing accuracy, this one's interesting though. Their crossing accuracy, Cardiff was at 16%, Fulham were at 29%. Corners, they had 7, Fulham had 3. And fouls, Cardiff had 8 and Fulham had 6. All right, Giannis, what stands out to you with the stats?
Shots on target, one doesn't cut it. And I'm sure Kit knows that. Again, he's going to be looking at the videotape here. I thought at times we looked a little bit too narrow. And I think that if we're going to get any joy with the sort of midfield we've got, we have to stretch the midfield. And this is where, you could argue, Kacha Nikolic might have been a really good option to bring off the bench. I thought he played well when he came off the bench last Saturday, and he gives you a different look. I just think that in this division, if we keep it too narrow, most teams play narrow. And we can rely against teams like Watford and Bournemouth that like to use width. And I think we have the players to utilise that approach. I think that, the number of shots won in 90 minutes makes it awful difficult and puts a lot of pressure in your back four and your goalkeeper not to make mistakes. And unfortunately, yesterday, of course, the goal we conceded, really, there's not a lot you could have done about it. It was a very good goal. So I think on the training field this week, we've got to look at somehow trying to stretch it a little bit. I'm sure the coaches have talked about this, but we've got to find a way to utilize our wide midfielders to the best of ability and just try and drag their fullbacks out of possession and try and create more space behind the defensive unit or the defensive units that we're playing against. So the one shot on net disappointed me for sure.
Oh, listen, I totally agree with that. That stands out. And when I first saw it, I was like, wow, we only had one shot on target. That's just not good enough. And what's interesting, Giannis, I don't know if you saw the comments from Kip, because he kept talking about, playing like the Harlem Globetrotters, but basically he needs them to be more clinical. And I think that goes to what you're talking about.
Yeah. I agree. But again, you've got to be able to create the chances. You can't score unless you get the chances. And, I go back to the teams that got promoted. And I predicted last year Norwich would go back up, and they did. And because if you look at the three teams that went up, they created lots and lots of chances. And they were very mobile, excellent movement off the ball, used the length and breadth of the park. And their build-ups didn't tend to be ponderous, whereas ours at times yesterday did. And really, anybody, if you can knock a 40, 50-yard ball into space, for your big number nine, it really is. It's just a very simple English tactic. And we've got some players with very good skill. Put the ball on Lass's feet or Jamie's feet. Let them do things with the ball. Ask different questions of the opposition. Give them different looks. We have that skill. And I find it odd that we don't use that skill. And that's why I don't want Smith in the lineup. And I like him. But he's a plan B. And, for us to score goals, I think we need to have a plan A. And we only need to have the players in there to do it. And that's why I'm curious to see what happens next week in terms of any potential transfer targets.
I hear you on that, my friend. All right. Let's move on, because again, I was hoping Mike would dial back in. Maybe he's having some issues with his internet connection. But in the meantime, let me ask you before we go any further, did you have a chance to actually watch the replay?
Yes, I did.
You did. Yes, okay. I did. So are you comfortable? Are you comfortable with rating the players?
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to do things a little bit differently this year, just to move things along a little bit quicker. Giannis, I'm just going to have you just go through the entire starting 11 and also rate Moussa Dembélé. Just give like 15, 30 seconds on each player and their ratings, just so we can move it along.
Okay. Starting from goalkeeper, Lonergan, 9, man of the match. Couple of very good saves, dealt really well with the crosses, really liked him last week against Palace. Bettinelli doesn't get back in the lineup. There's my first prediction. Back four, Jazzy Richards. Yeah, I think Lonergan's a starter. Jazz Richards, 6.5, did okay. I'd like to see a few more runs, very few overlaps, but he really got beaten, no problems there. Kay Vossa, give him a 6. I like his ability to come forward. Said he was energetic. We missed Luke Garbutt. I thought Garbutt played really well against Palace last week, but I think he's probably going to be the right fill-in until Garbutt gets back, although it does worry me that Leighton Baines went down yesterday. I don't know if there's a provision to recall Luke Garbutt. I hope not. Vossa did okay. The two centre-backs, Hutchinson and Byrne, I'm going to give them both 7. I thought Byrne was slightly the better of the two, looked to play with a little bit more confidence, looks to be a little more comfortable on the ball, which was good. I thought Hutchinson's positional awareness was strong. He did look confident. He made one block in the second half that I thought was very important. So as a unit, a back four, I thought they played pretty well. Looking at the midfield, Lassie, 8. Lassie again, Christensen, always looks good, always looks calm, really loses the ball, good energy. He's not quite match fit 110%, but he will be. Jamie O'Hara, 7.5. Absolutely ecstatic we got this kid. Always been a huge fan of his. Works like a dog. Tremendous influence on the midfield around him. And he's still not 100%. I was talking to him after the game last week. He said he's still not 100%, but you know he's going to give you everything. And his experience, I think, helped, especially when we were defending and we were under pressure. Kearney, 6.5. I thought tended to drift in and out. Looked a little bit nervous. But he's going to be, you know what? He's a good upgrade for us. So I'm expecting good things from him. McCormack, I'm going to maybe get some stick on this one. I'm going to give him 6.5. I'm not convinced he's 100% fit.
Okay.
I'm not at the moment not convinced about his decision making ability. I'm not convinced he doesn't think he's got to do everything himself. I think he needs to play within the limitations of the team, and I think he needs to do a better job of releasing and moving into space, open spaces. And that's where the Collie Woodrow thing comes in. I don't think Ross does that. You know he's going to score goals. You know he's a quality player. He just looks a little rusty. I don't think he's got an injury. I just think he looks a little bit off. Pringle, 7.5. I think he's a very good player. And you know what? He was a little unlucky with that equaliser when he fell, but never stopped working for 90 minutes. Matt Smith, 7.5, did tremendously well in the air. What he's good at, he does well. I mean, I'm not going to criticise him for that. I just think that, you know, there should be a different plan. Dembele, 7. He was a menace when he came on. He caused a lot of problems. But I'm still not convinced about him, Russ. I don't think he's the long-term answer. To me, he's not a thinking player. Whereas I think Collie Woodrow is a thinking player. So we'll see where it goes. But anyway, those are my ratings. So overall, a pretty good performance, and I think that the ratings reflect that.
No, listen, they do. And interesting, your ratings are very similar to Mike's. I'm going to read Mike's ratings. Mike, unfortunately, is having problems connecting back in. Sorry about that to everyone, because Mike was fantastic today. So I want to thank so much for joining us, because he really gave us insight from being there. So major thank you for at the last minute for him jumping in, Giannis. But Mike, unfortunately, is having connectivity issues. But I do want to read his ratings. I also want to read the ratings real quick for Alex Norton, who is a Fulham supporter living up in Cardiff City. He went to uni there, but now he's actually working up there. His ratings are a little bit different than you guys. So I'm going to go both and then get your thoughts first. Here are Mike's ratings. He starts with Andy Lonergan at 7, Kai Vozer at 6, Jazz Richards at 6, Dan Byrne at 7, Sean Hutchinson at 7. He has LVC at 7, Ben Pringle at 6, Tom Kearney at 6, Jamie O'Hara he has at 8. Matt Smith, he has at 7. And he actually has McCormack at 5. I believe you had him at 6.5.
Yes,
Mike was very harsh on him, and him and I actually DM back and forth. He was, you know, I think, you know, I don't want to speak for Mike, but he kind of mentioned it. Giannis, he doesn't like the fact that the Ross McCormack keeps coming back so deep. Can you hear me, Giannis?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. No, that's okay. And then he has Moussa Dembele at a 7. Okay. Now, here is Alex Norton's ratings. He has Teddy Larnigan at 7.5. That's kind of going to your thoughts there, Giannis. He rated him fairly high. Kai Vozer, he has at a 5. He has Jazz Richards at an 8. He has John Hutchinson at a 5. Dan Byrne at a 6 out of 10. He has Tom Kearney, 6 out of 10. Lasse Vigan Christensen, 7.5. Ben Pringle, 8. Jamie O'Hara, 6. Matt Smith, 7. McCormick, again, a very low rating for Ross McCormick, 4. Moussa Dembele, 6. So those are his ratings. All right. And let's see. All right. So what do you make out of Alex's ratings and also out of Mike's ratings?
Yeah. Well, we seem to be in agreement about Ross McCormick. Whether you get 5-4. And look, I think we'll all agree that we love what he does, and he's an excellent player, and he had a tremendous season for us. I didn't want to use the notion that he looks overweight. You know, I mean, and that's a tricky one, because I mean, when Jamie O'Hara came back, and Jamie admitted to me last week, in laughter, I might add, you know, he's working to get the fitness to get rid of a few pounds, and I get that. That's you know, his season last year was a good season, but da da da, and he's had his issues, and we get that. But to me, McCormack, even when he came into the players' lounge after the game, looked a little heavy. I don't think he's 100%. And if he's not 100% after a preseason, then I think questions have to be asked. I just don't get why you wouldn't come back fit. To me, last week in the game against Palace, his mobility was really in question. You know, when Mitroglou came on for Woodrow, I was very disappointed, because actually I'd have taken Ross off, because Woodrow ran his tail off, and then all of a sudden I didn't have a problem with bringing Mitroglou on, but Ross looked tired out there. So is it because it's something they don't want to broach? I don't know, but to me, he didn't play well yesterday, and he didn't play well last week. If I were Kit, I'd play him this Tuesday. Because if he's short of match fitness, you might as well get him to play and see what happens. But the rest of the ratings look pretty good, for sure. Lonergan's were decent as well. And I've said what I said. I think that Lonergan is our starting keeper. I really do. Wow. I thought he played well last week. The back four looked assured, and I think that's a lot of that is to do with the comfort level of the player, the keeper playing behind him or behind them. And he's got lots of experience. To me, he should now be our starting keeper.
All right. Before we move on, because I want to get your man of the match, I actually want to go to the back four with you, because first of all, I find it fascinating about Andy Lonergan. But let's talk about the back four. Let's start with the fullbacks. Yeah. Watching this match, I thought Jazz Richards, again, defended well. But what was interesting, I thought he was more offensive in this game, Giannis. What are your thoughts about Jazz?
I thought he was, but you know that I'm a Jazz Richards boo boy. So, I know. Yeah, I'm not his greatest fan, I'm still not convinced. I'm still not convinced. There are better right backs out there that we can pick up. He did a decent job yesterday. Kay Vossa, he hardly played last year. So, I mean, the next few weeks is certainly going to be it's certainly going to be an audition for him. I mean, he didn't put a foot wrong. Sure. I still think we need upgrades, though, Russ. I think in a month or so from now, that back four, even with Garbutt back, is going to look a lot different. I mean, the rumors going on that we're going to pick up Lewis Dunk. It might be this week. Another centre back, maybe coming through. We're not sure. And then there's the last minute trade. Transfer deadline, there might be someone else, like, for example, you may get a defender, a centre-back who's not getting a lot of time in the Premier League that's sent out on loan, disgruntled player that's not playing. So I think it might look very different in the next month or so.
Okay, very good. All right, let's now go over to man of the match. And let's just start here. You had Andy Lonergan as your man of the match.
Yeah.
Mike actually just chimed in. He did DM me, and I knew this already, but his man of the match is Jamie O'Hara. And honestly, I'm going to second that. I was going to say my man of the match was Jamie O'Hara. Giannis, you met him, and you know, again, yeah. Mike and I were talking about it on our previous show. I asked him, I said, could Jamie O'Hara be the closest to Danny Murphy? He actually said that to me. It's the closest thing that we have to Danny Murphy. Would you second that, or would you disagree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've always been a huge fan of his when he was at Tottenham, when he was at Wolves. He was Blackpool's Player of the Year last year. They tried to sign him to a contract. He ended up here. I had a chat with him, and I said, you know, I said, congratulations on coming. I'm delighted you're here. Always behind what you do. He's an affable lad. He's very, very down to earth. He comes here. He's delighted to be here. He said, I'm going to do everything I can for this team to get us promoted. And he's... you know, he's a player that's gonna run through walls, and he is a very close, and that's probably the biggest compliment we can pay to Jamie, because let's not forget, I mean, he's Danny Murphy's considered a legend down here, so
yes,
I think he is. I think it was a tremendous pickup, and remember, it was a free transfer, so yeah. I'm delighted that we have him.
Listen, I think he could be the steal of the championship.
Getting oh, yes.
him in it on a free, I think it's going to be huge. And, you know, it's funny to watch this and just to see the way that he just controlled the play, Giannis. And I'm thinking, as the season goes on, he's only going to get better and better. And that midfield has so much potential. It's just it's exciting to think about what's going to go on. But it will come down to the back four in the end. If we do push for promotion, it will, for me, depend on that back four. But before we move on, before we wrap up the show, I want to mention a couple of other fans chimed in about man of the match. I have O'Hara. Mike has O'Hara. You had Andy Lonergan. Tarmina Rahman goes with you. He says Lonergan, but still prefer Bettinelli when fully fit. Roger Lewis, our friend Roger Lewis down in Spain, he has Jamie O'Hara. His work rate and vision were excellent. And so again, the people that we're talking to were kind of on the same page on that. And yeah. Giannis, before we go, we only have a couple minutes left. Anything you want to share about Kidd? How would you rate Kidd in this match?
I'll do a quick one with Kidd. Seven. The lineup was right, apart from Smith. You know, I said I wouldn't have Woodrow. So a good first start. Let's see what lineup he picks up on Tuesday. I think it'll look very different. And I'm going to give it just because I've got about a minute. There's a few people I want to thank because I was down in London last week.
Go ahead.
Emilio and Callie and Nina, we met up for supper Friday night, as you know, and they were absolutely fantastic. Sarah Brooks and Mark Maunders met me at the clubhouse, and I hadn't bought a ticket, and they gave me a ticket to the players' lounge. I'm nearly 50 years of age, and I've never been to the cottage, inside the cottage, and I have to tell you, it was one of the best days of my life. It was
that's great.
Players, it was such a thrill. I felt like I honestly felt like a little kid, and I took pictures and met, you know, Lassie and. And I had a chat with Kit, and it was wonderful. And to sit there, I was sitting next to Collie Woodrow's mum, Lynn. And it was a good spirit. It was good spirit there. And I want to thank them. Sarah and Mark were absolutely amazing. And Sarah's an absolute sweetheart. So we had a fantastic time. And the way I was received, I hope, is probably the way that it's such a family-run club, Russ. It really is.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is great. So I just want to thank everybody for making my Friday night and Saturday just such a wonderful experience.
Well, that's just wonderful. And listen, I've seen some of the pictures, Giannis. It looks like you had a great time. And thank you everyone that made your weekend so great, your time at Craven Cottage so wonderful. But let's wrap up the show. Great show. Thank you so much, Giannis. And I also want to thank Mike Gregg for coming in at the last minute. But let's wrap this thing up for Giannis and Mike. I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, Giannis.
Thanks, Russ.